Check WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We have put the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on baseball hiatus. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery with our Raven Scratch-Offs, including our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, and our newest sponsor at Jiffy Lube and MultiCare. We'll be talking about oil changes and more into the fall. Ravens on the road 3 weeks in a row, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, London. We're going to be up at the Hollywood Casino giving these Raven scratch-offs away on the morning of October 15th. That'll be the first day of my 56th year on the planet. And it's been 40 years since the Baltimore Orioles won the World Series. I was in the 500 level on that Sunday, October the 16th, 1983, with my pop. My dearly departed, I did not have a jersey nearly this good looking that particular day, but the guy who was my guest did, Rick Dempsey, World Series MVP from 1983, and of course, many, many years on your Masson broadcast and in the Orioles family and at the baseball warehouse and promoting another fantasy camp where old guys like me get to come out there and see if I can still throw a party. Dipper, it is good to have you on anytime, but it is specifically really, really good when the magic number is, like, let's say, less than Cal Ripken's number, less than Brooks Robinson's number, and really getting down to Al Bumbry's number right now as this thing comes home. How are you? I miss you on the broadcast here every night.
Well,
and you
thank
did enough
you so
yelling
much
about them when they were no good. Now they're great. Let's come back and talk about them.
I know. It's like turned over in the blink of an eye. It's amazing what the Orioles have done. You know, Mike Elias, drafted these young guys number one, threw him in the minor leagues, and he was pretty patient with them. They've all come to the big leagues, and something you just don't see very often, Nestor, is so many guys coming to the big leagues that are immediately productive with the ball club. Usually it takes them a little while to get their feet wet, but ever since Adley Rutschman got there, I mean, he's been the big guy for me with the ball club, changing just the way that they do things down on the field. And this place is exploded. Yeah, and I think everybody in the baseball world all over the country is watching the Baltimore Orioles to see if they're really for real. And I would have to say, watching the way they play defense, watching the way they play offense, and, you know, and the pitching and everything at the same time, it goes through its stretches here and there that are a little bumpy, but that happens on every ball club. When it gets into playoff time, we're going to see just how well they do and how well they can play together. And I think that's the key for them right now is, you know, don't worry about the losses of two or three days in a row, and they bounce right back, you know. So I'm hoping that they can continue that that kind of play into the playoffs, and I think we're going to see them go pretty far.
See, they bounce back. They rarely lose, right? And they don't lose series. They never get swept. I mean, there is a point where you think, all right, maybe the pitching's not as great as some other. It's not Glavin and Madison Smaltz. It's not McGregor and Stone and Boddicker and Palmer. You know, it's not that. But I would still look at it and say, over the body of work, over the, not just this year, but going back through half of last year, they've managed to score enough runs when they need to, and the pitching's been good enough to get them here. Now, lining all of this up and where Grayson Rodriguez was two, three, 4 months ago,
right,
where John Means was two or three weeks ago before he went out and threw no-hit ball last week, that you start to say, all right, well, maybe losing Batista's, that's not good, and maybe Cano and Fuji and these guys have a little ways to go. But the starting pitching and what we've gotten out of Kramer, Gibson, even Flaherty out of the bullpen last week, it does hearten me to think, well, eighth and ninth inning, but they might be up 8-3 in the eighth or ninth inning of a couple of these games and not need it to be a nail biter every night in the playoffs.
You know, Nestor, as I looked at a lot of teams that we went into playoffs against in my era, everything, you kind of say, you know, what are these hitters like? What's the chemistry of the team, and how do they respond to the other teams that are equal to them? They don't take too many pitches. There's no indecision up there. If they can swing at it, they do. And you don't see them take a lot of strike threes. It just doesn't happen. And but teams like that that just have no fear when they get into a big series against a team that's got a good reputation, they're really tentative about the kind of pitches that they swing at. You'll see a lot of guys go up there and take fastballs down the middle of the plate for strike three. They get fooled easy. There's not those thoughts in these kids' heads. They're very aggressive. Anything close, they'll take a pretty good hack at it. They've got all the power that they need. They got the good contact hitters, right, wherever they want in the lineup. It's just a matter. There's no quit in them at all. They get down in an inning, three, four, five runs, and they're not out of the game at all. And you can tell by their attitude that when they get back up in there, they get a runner in scoring position, and somebody finds a way to get a base hit. It's incredible to see this team back. I think more than any other team, even in the National League, and I see a lot of National League ball games, even in the National League, you don't see the chemistry on their ball clubs that the Orioles have right now. I think the Orioles are number one in that respect. That chemistry is right there, and it starts right there behind home plate. I think Adley Rutschman kind of took hold of this ball club, maybe not on purpose, but just his whole demeanor from behind home plate has permeated through the ball club and through the organization. And I think when kids come up here, they're ready to produce, and that's a beautiful thing to watch right now.
Rick, you were part of this for a long time. You wanted to be, on the field, off the field, the Dan Duquette era, McPhail before that, going back to the Oriole way and what you grew up with Cal Senior and Earl Weaver and Cashin and everything that was laid out. This last 5, 6 years with Elias coming in, and listen, all the hijinks in Houston with banging trash cans and the cheating that was very obvious that happened there. He came here, and you have the baseball warehouse. And you're always trying to train young players. Zahn was, your nephew's one of my dear friends, trained up, had a nice long career like you had. But this modern team, where to your point, number one picks. We had number one picks here for a generation that rarely got to the field. It was thought, well, it's baseball. You pick a lot of guys, and not every number one makes it. Whatever they're doing at a coaching, training, and I know the analytics part still sort of baffles the 55-year-old in me to wonder what they're doing, but the measurements of what they do with pitching and with rest, and more than that, with hitting, having all of the Westbergs and the Kowsers, and we're going to have Holiday around the corner, all of these guys coming up,
Right.
and they're not all going to be. I always use Richie Dower, your great friend. My father, Richie Dower, no offense to you or Renicky, was my favorite player, or Brother Lowe, but my dad loved Rich Dower because he led the International League, Triple Crown. He did all of that. He was not that in the big leagues, but he was a really good big league player, but he had that pedigree at Triple A and in the
Yep.
minors at a time when all of you played a lot more minor league ball than these guys have. But these guys, whatever the new group is doing, whatever that measurement and that analytics thing they're doing, they are producing what your warehouse wants to produce, which is taking someone that's a great raw talent, a high draft pick, but getting them to that next level that they can come up here and win baseball games. And we haven't seen that over 40 years here, Rick. You know that.
I know, a lot of teams have good players in their organization. There might be four or five of them, on every team that are really outstanding athletes and very productive players. But if you don't have the camaraderie to go along with it, where everybody plays together, there's a lot to be said for that. I mean, Earl Weaver was a tough guy to get along with out on the field. It was because he demanded that we do the fundamentals properly. And if we didn't, we'd spend our off days on the road at the ballpark working on the fundamentals. And I think after a while, we kind of understood, don't drop the ball, don't miss the tag, simple things like that, hit the cutoff man. All little stuff like that really means something when you get into playoff territory. And this is what these guys have. They've got a great ball club that can be very productive and very powerful. What's going to make it work is being able to do the little things, put it together, play good defense, keep the double play in order, those kind of things that Earl Weaver demanded and our coaching staff at the same time. That's what took us deep into season. That's what gave us the confidence that we could win a World Series. Let's just get there. Let's play well through the playoffs and everything. The Orioles have it right now, and I hope that they can maintain it. They got the characters in that lineup that can keep everybody together and keep everybody on the same page. Don't get too cocky. Don't, get crazy. Just stay focused on, paying attention to what's going on in the game. A lot of guys through that era after I retired, they were more focused on chewing sunflower seeds, playing flip games in the bullpen, who's going to hit the seed in the cup and stuff like that. No, you got to be paying attention to the game. What's the other guys doing? What's their strengths? What's their weaknesses? You know, we focused on those kind of things. There's a lot of things. For example, I know I wasn't with the Orioles in 1988. I was with the Dodgers. They picked us to be last in our division. Not only did we win the division, we won the playoffs in the National League. We went to the World Series and beat the most powerful team on paper in history, the Oakland A's. And we beat them in 5 games because we paid attention. And what happened? Canseco and Maguire and a lot of their good hitters would come up, and I noticed that they opened, had a big wide open stance, you know, with that left foot was wide open. What are they looking for when they do that? If they don't close up all the way, you know they're looking middle in. When they came up the second time and they were pigeon-toed like this and everything, you realize they're trying to keep the left side in. So now they're looking for the ball on the outside corner. You pick up things like that by watching the game. Don't spend your time inside watching a football game on the side or a basketball game on the side. You know, pay attention to what's going on the game. And I think the Nestor, that's a reason why most of our pitchers, like Scotty McGregor, Steve Stone, like Dennis Martinez was in a category all of his own. He came to the big leagues with the best stuff I ever saw any pitcher in baseball with. But there were guys like that that didn't have the great stuff, but they were smart enough to know if I watch this ball game, just like Jim Palmer did, I'm going to be able to pick up things that are going to help me win baseball games. This is the Orioles right now. This is the Orioles right now. And I think that's what's going to take them. They play together. They're fundamentally strong. They can steal bases. They get in scoring position. Forget about the analytics or whatever. That might be part of their history. It wasn't part of ours. So, but that's okay. They're in a position to win. And that's all Oriole fans want to see. Oriole fans deserve that.
Had a picture of Rick Dempsey on the wall at the radio station for a good 25 years of him and Scott McGregor in that moment up at the Vet back
Oh,
in
yeah.
October of 1983. I don't know who the pile divers are here, who's going to get the winning hit in the first week of November as we're playing World Series games around here, but certainly harking it back to 83. And you got me all, like you start talking 88, and I'm thinking, I remember where I was when Gibson hit that bomb, right? Like you were there, but we were all
I was
there in
there.
on it, and I hope we have that sort of drama around here. Rick is here on behalf of the Baseball Warehouse, as well as my old friend Jay Harris, baseballfancamp.com. Dipper, I'm 55 in a couple weeks, right? On Kiko Garcia's birthday, which is October 14th, which is a day before Jim Palmer's birthday, which is October 15th. So I'm celebrating 55 years. I think I'm now officially in the era where I could come to fantasy camp. I'm old enough now, right? Because I when
Yeah,
I
you're a
came on the
baby
radio 30
still.
years ago, I was too young. You guys wouldn't let me go.
You're a rookie. Yeah.
I'm afraid of being with my elbow in the ice. I'm afraid of being in a tank all week with a bad back or something. That's my deal.
You got to work out 365 days a year, man. That's what my routine was.
Baseball condition's different than yoga. I'm in great yoga shape, but throwing a baseball, twerking, it's like playing golf where you'll be today. You're still a well-conditioned athlete to be able to do all this, that you go to a baseball camp at your young age and not get injured. Tell me about these fantasy camps, because I've had so many friends that have been. I got the picture showing up here, and there's it. Look, my wife will tell you this. I could not find. I bought it. I have an Oriole jersey I've been wearing for 30 years. I wore it. I got fat and the buttons came out. Then I got skinny and it came back together. We moved last year and I can't find my jersey. I went out on the internet and I bought, and I this is a 79. This is one you wore, Rick, but I want you to see the back of this. When I saw this on the internet, I said,
Oh my gosh.
that's an Aparicio 11. It looks like it should be DeSensei's or like that, but it's not. And I bought this and it came in the mail 2 weeks ago. And my wife like sat down, waited. Looks like at Christmas. I got to open it and put it on. Just putting this thing on makes me want to go in the hall and have you hit me hot grounders. I'll be honest with you.
Well, you've got the passion for the game. It's just in a different respect. You want to talk the ball game. That's your strength. Getting out on the field. You didn't spend sun up to sundown out on the baseball field taking backhands to your right and to your left.
I
You know?
did till I was about 14, and
Yeah.
then I found girls and rock and roll, and I just watched you guys do it, is what I did.
Well, those are pretty good reasons.
But you get to be a kid again. I mean, I played a lot of ball as a kid, Rick. I mean, I always surprise my wife when, like, I get a glove and, like, I know how to do it really well.
Yeah.
And I've shagged fly balls and all that. For people who played as a kid, like myself, maybe haven't picked a ball on a bat up in a little while, this, the fantasy camp, and you've done 30, 40 of these. You've done a lot of these. You were doing these
Oh
probably
yeah,
at
a
the end
lot
of
of
you being a
them.
player. It's a joyous time. Everybody I've ever known that's gone to a fantasy camp has come back, not just with a cool jersey, but just with a great experience, right?
Oh, it is because they get to live their dreams through us and our stories and everything that we tell them. They get down there and they want to hear about everything. Some game that they went to, some certain thing happened. They want to know how and why it happened, you know, and they just want to know everything about the game. They live vicariously through those stories that we tell them at fantasy camp. When you get down there, you know, and you encourage them, you know, to do certain things, you know, don't take so many pitches, you know, hit what you can hit. Don't worry about it being a strike or not. It might be 2 inches off the outside corner. All of a sudden they get a base hit and they say, you're right, because all of a sudden now they become a little bit more aggressive. You know, fantasy camps are a lot of fun because usually mostly at the breakfast time in the morning, you know, they're having breakfast. That's our opportunity to stand up in front of them and tell them about a lot of the fun things that we did during the course of our careers. And they just really enjoy it. You know, like when Tippi Martinez and a few of the other guys, we used to hang out together, and I told them, you know, the story that they dropped me off at my apartment. Lenny Sakata and Mike Boddicker, I think, were in on this. And they dropped me off at my condo and they went and parked underneath. I ran across the street, hid in the closet in their house because they left the key on the table when we all left. So I'm hiding in the closet. And then there was a guy that was robbing a lot of people down in Miami at that time. And it was, his name was, El Turk, well, whatever, El Turco, what it, so anything, I threw a broom down when they got to their Indiana poker game in the middle of the night. I threw a broom handle down in the hallway and I banged against the wall. And they, who the heck is that? I said, well, it's El Turco, you know, and they, oh no, this is the kid that's been robbing everybody in Miami. He's gonna get us. So, you know, I did a lot of things to these guys. It was funny. I had them. Tippi Martinez was one of the guys too, and so he went into the kitchen. I could see from the mirror down the hall that he was getting some weapons in the kitchen. So he had four butter knives and a can opener. I said, "Hey, Chico, what you do? What you have in your hand? You look like you want to hurt me." He says, "Yeah." He says, "We've got knives." I said, "Well, hey, gringo, I have a gun." He says, "Okay, you win." You know, so. The bottom line is I finally ran him back into the room and the police came after I grabbed all their Indiana money and put it in a bag and I ran out the sliding glass door. The police all came, you know, and interviewed them. How much money did they lose? And the cheap bastards were saying that they lost about $5,000 they wanted to get. When it all came, it was about $26.50 in change, and that was it. Off that there. They're trying to get 5 grand out of it.
So you bring up
But
Tippy. So I've
yeah.
played in two baseball games. I've been on the air 32 years, 25 years at NST. I played in two baseball games as an adult. One, it was print versus broadcast. Rick Vaughn in 1992 organized a game at the New Camden Yards. We were all filmed on video. I played third
Right.
base. Keith Mills played shortstop. I schmuck struck me out. Frank Robinson, Hall of Famer, dearly departed, rang me up on a 3-2 pitch that was low and outside in that game. I'm still upset with Frank about that. And then I got invited down to Bowie in the 90s to play in a celebrity baseball game. And it was a lot more competitive. I mean, I thought it was just going to be for fun. There were some like former minor league players that could really play. I was still young, I was in my 20s.
Right.
Tippi Martinez was pitching on the other team down at Bowie. I'll never forget it. You know, I went down. He grooved me. Nice little 58 mile an hour heater. I always had trouble hitting off lefties, and I singled the left field, and I didn't even run to first base. I ran to Tippy to hug him because I singled off of a major leaguer. And Dipper, listen, that was 20 some years ago. I'm still here bragging about it because when you play fantasy baseball and you go to one of these camps, you remember it. I'll never forget. I never see Tippy without thanking him for grooving me and allowing me to hit a single off of him. Because he picked three guys off in a row one night. I think you remember that, right?
Yeah, he did. I got pinch hit for, and Lenny Sicada went in to catch. And so Tippy, I don't know if he walked. I think he walked a couple guys. And then he had to pick them off because they were all trying to steal second base on Lenny. They knew Lenny wasn't a catcher. But to pick off three guys in one inning is nothing short of miraculous. It's never been done before, and Tippy's the only one who ever did it. He was amazing. It's a good thing Nestor didn't throw you his curveball, because his curveball was like what we call, 12 to 6, right? It came in and it spread down. There was no curvature to it at all, really. It just from top to bottom, and it was so tight. The spin ratio was amazing. And I can remember Tippy coming in the game. He couldn't do his fastball over. And so I said, I got the 3-1 on the count with the bases loaded. If he walks the guy, we lose the ball game. I just said, hell, I got to call his curveball. It was a 3-0. So I called a curveball. He throws strike once, and now it's 3-1. Then I called a curveball again, 3-2. I said, what the hell? Let's go with it again. So calling three straight curveballs in a row, he strikes the guy out. And here he loaded the bases with not being able to throw the fastball over. But he was an amazing pitcher for us. Sometimes he started, not very often, but he had that durability, but he had the most amazing curveball you ever want to see.
Rick, the memories of 79 and my disappointment, I was 11 years old, and then a few years later, after I discovered girls in roller skating in 1983, you guys won up in Philly. I don't want to say pressure on these young guys, and I always use the example of 79 to 83, and really good in 80, the best team in baseball in 81 in the split year, 82 the last weekend against the Brewers, the whole deal, that you finally climbed the mountain. But that was Cal Ripken's first and only mountain, right? Cal made it back 96-97 to playoffs, but not to a World Series. It's early in this Oriole thing, and I know if you were on television, we'd be talking about the lease that John Angelos hasn't signed, the money that's gonna take to retain these players when the time comes, and how they let Machado get away and gave the money, all of those things that I sit here and talk about every single day. But I think the thing that I want to make clear to everybody, being a little older and you're even older than me, is, man, there ain't no tomorrow, baby. There's just right now. Like this, though, don't be thinking this is the beginning of something. This, you got to be thinking we're a one seed. And we got to buy, and this is your time to win, even though you're young, Adley, even though it's the first time at the rodeo, Gunnar Henderson, that for guys like Kyle Gibson, they're not thinking about tomorrow or next year. We're going to be even better when Holiday gets here. No, the Yankees and the Red Sox are going to be better, too, at some point. This has been a really special year, and I hope they close the deal.
Yeah, I mean, the American League East, yeah. They're going to be better. But, right now there's no fear. They've jumped out of the chute. They're in first place. Nobody ever expected that. They're trying to show the world it's legit. And everybody in baseball is watching them right now, and they're just as cool and calm and collected as you ever want to see a ball club. So I expect that they're going to go deep, in this divisional playoff. Anything can happen. If they lose their confidence, then it could all change in a heartbeat. But I just think that there's so many of them right now that are being productive. It's a beautiful blend of young players, of rookie players, and veteran guys that have been very productive. Mullins is one that stands out for me. Maybe the numbers aren't there like they were the year he hit 30 home runs and had so many stolen bases and blah, blah, blah. But he's going to pick up the pace down the stretch here. He's starting to get it back again. He's got that confidence about him. He hit the 3-run home run the other day to win the ball game for him. Things like that are going to happen, with this ball club, because you can tell it's nothing but confidence with this ball club right now. And That's what we had with the Los Angeles Dodgers, with a bunch of old backup guys. We only had five starters there. The rest of us were platoon guys. But that's what we had with the Dodgers. We had that confidence about our ball club that we were going to come back from any deficit. We've seen it happen all year long with this team.
Well, your 79 team and 83 team, whether it was Reneke and Lowenstein, whether it was Billy Smith and the aforementioned Rick Dower, Ewan Tackett. I mean, everybody pitches in, and that's the way this team has been with the McCanns and with the Mateos and with the O'Hearns and McKenna. I mean, it's like the Oriole Magic song, Rick. Every night there's a different star. That's the magic of Oriole
You're right.
baseball, right?
If I had learned to keep my mouth shut in 79, we would have won that World Series, and I might have had a shot at the MVP there too. So what happened, when they introduced us all before game one, you line up down the third base and first base lines, and then you go and you clap hands with Earl Weaver and on down the line. I looked over at Chuck Tanner and I said, "Chuck, if you want to get it over with quick when they get on base, let them try to steal." So I threw out Marino, I threw out Alexander, I threw out Parker and everything. And all of a sudden, after we got up 3-1 in the series, they stopped running. Here was the best hitting team in the National League, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the best hitting team in baseball that year. And all of a sudden, they stopped running. They realized we made a mistake. They were giving us extra outs per inning every time they tried to steal a base. I'd throw them out. So all of a sudden, those last three games, nobody attempted to steal, and they put it back together again, and they end up winning the last three ball games and broke our hearts. But through the years, I thought, how did that happen? How did we lose three games in a row? I didn't think we lost three games in a row all season long. And it was that one particular thing. Chuck Tanner stopped running, stopped giving me extra outs per inning, and boom, they put it together. And we all went home with our tail between our legs, and thank God 83 came up. But then we were able to rectify that situation. Ended up beating a Hall of Fame Philadelphia Phillies team in five games. So, you learn your lessons through the years. But I take the hammer for 1979. I'm sorry, Nestor.
Well, he is the 83 World Series MVP, Rick Dempsey. We're going to talk a little baseball warehouse before I get you out of here. I'll just say this. The 79 Pirates, I had occasion one night not to hit Burt Blyleven's curveball, which I'm sure if they had all the analytics of the tight of the spin on the curveball from him in the Minnesota era, we would remember that. And I know you know all about that as well. But he showed me the World Series ring. We went to lunch. Well, he said, "You want to try it on?" I said, "I don't even want to see it." Grant Jackson did the same ish to me back in the 90s when he was a pitching coach and roving in our I don't even want to know any. I have blacked out. I don't even listen to We Are Family. I don't allow that
I
sort of
hate
thing
that
around me.
song myself.
Yeah, I hate that song too. Rick Dempsey's here. Last thing for you, other than we're going to go deep into the playoffs and win a World Series, and I'll bring you back on here and find out who the 2024 2023, excuse me, MVP will be here of the World Series. Maybe Adley Rutschman will be the guy. The baseball warehouse and your training with young people and opening new academies, really, that young people, when they want to play, and I've known Dave Johnson here forever, and you always given instruction to young people. And it's part of, I think, playing in the big leagues all these years is you have some knowledge that any young person can use. And I know you work really hard on it, and people have big dreams of making the big leagues. I know I did when I was a kid.
Oh, I know. And it's just going to be such a great time for us that we're getting ready for our grand opening here on October 6th, 7th, and 8th, out at the Rick Dempsey Baseball Warehouse. And it's just so much. I mean, I believe today too, I'm not a total believer in on all the analytics that they've come up with, especially the catchers going to one knee and things are getting a little bit sloppy, a lot of pass balls and guys getting in scoring position puts too much pressure on the pitching staff. But to learn the game fundamentally, you're not going to have any better instructors than the ones I have, like Mike Bordick up there, or Tippy Martinez coming in, like you said, to show the pitchers just how to grip that pitch and how to get good spin ratio and blah, blah, blah. And Al Bunbury as one of the hitting instructors. And we've got people coming in for the camps and the clinics that have been Hall of Famers. And so we're really looking forward to diving into this thing. Matt Morris had started the baseball warehouse and made an invitation for me to join his company and put together a Rick Dempsey baseball warehouse out in Columbia. But with all the people we're filtering in, I mean, fans are going to get that opportunity to meet a lot of really good major league players. But the reason that we're there is to teach these kids the fundamentals of the game on how to be successful at any level that they want to play ball, whether it just be little league or high school or college. You'd be surprised, a lot of kids that go to college don't really play in a good baseball program there. They might not go to the big leagues, but they might get scholarships because of their ability, things that they learn at a baseball warehouse somewhere, you know? So it's really a trend across the world with all the money they're paying the players. You know, the parents are out there thinking, my son is good enough, to make it. Maybe one of these days he'll be one of those multi-million dollar contracts at the major. It's motivational, but they learn a lot because, especially at the Dempsey warehouse, I take the time to bring the parents in at the same time. While I've got other instructors working on certain things, I'll go to the parents and I'll say, see how simple it is to hold a baseball. This is what they need to do. This is how they need to release it. You know, you got to work with them when they're at home. And they love that. They love to hear my insight to being a parent teaching a kid, their own kid, when they're not in really involved in any kind of baseball program, on what to look for and how to help them focus on conditioning. And what baseball is the toughest sport of all the sports. You might disagree. You think, oh, football's got to be. No, it isn't. Football's once a week. Basketball's once every 2 days, 3 days. You know, but baseball, from the start of spring training to the end of a championship series, you might be playing 230 games. That's what makes baseball tough, is being out there every single day. You know, for that amount of time, players have to learn to condition. I never stopped working out. At the end of a baseball season, Nestor, I unpacked my first day, and the second day, I'm doing my 7.5 mile country road runs up in the mountains. And then on Tuesdays, it was repeat quarters, 4 miles of repeat quarters. That's 16. And then on Thursdays, on that day, we do the sprint workouts where you do 3 miles of 220s halfway around the track, you know? And so that's
See, nobody thinks
24
about
sprints.
that with you being the MVP and like all these years later. But I knew Zon, and I would say this: when I stand next to you, when I stand next to Zon, you're like normal guys. You weren't gifted, faster, better. You worked harder. Yeah, I mean, you like literally. I mean, you
You
weren't
got a
born
good
with
point
these. You
there.
weren't born with the physical gifts of Barry Bonds or whatever, right? Literally.
Now, when the scout told my mother I signed out of high school as a professional catcher at 145 pounds, they said, don't change the furniture around in his room because he's going to be back within the next couple of weeks. And she kind of laughed a little bit. And she says, oh, I don't know.
You don't know my boy.
That's right. Exactly. So a mother's confidence, you know, so whatever. But no, you got to work at it every day.
Well, good luck to you in getting this thing open. You picked a pretty good time to have a grand opening here down in Columbia. Rick Dempsey joining us here, World Series MVP 1983. And you mentioned Mike Bordick. I mean, no offense to you, Bunbury, Tippy, good guys. Bordick's one of my favorite people on earth. I mean, just one of the
Oh,
really good humans that we've ever had put this
on and
sweater on.
off the field, he's a gem. That's all there is to it. He talks to baseball. He doesn't look down at anybody. He doesn't put himself up on a pedestal. He set a record in the major leagues for the most airless games in a row. I mean, that's not easy to do. And he's amazing. He really is amazing. A good speaker. He communicates well with people. He's always willing to help. You can't get a better person to be involved with than Mike Bordick. You're absolutely right, Nestor.
I've been doing this a long, long time. If I were on fire and I needed, somebody from baseball, Mike Bordick could be my first phone call. I'm glad he was yours as well. Hey, we'll get you back up here a little bit more often. We got
I
I want
hope
a
so.
couple plugs here for Rick Dempsey's Baseball Warehouse, as well as Jay Harris at the baseballfancamp.com. That camp is January 20th to the 28th. It's in Southwest Florida. The weather's better there. You get to play ball. You get to come back and talk about hitting a single off at Tippy Martinez for the rest of your life, the way I have. If
And
you
we have fun.
if Schmuck strikes you out, you forget about that, the way the Ravens forgot about losing this weekend. Rick, Buckle up your chin strap here for baseball, man. We got playoff baseball, a little bit of bye time, getting these pitching matchups together. It's always good to hear your voice and see your face, pal.
Thank you, Nestor.
Rick Dempsey joining us here. I went out and I bought the Aparicio throwback. There's only one orange jersey. It was this one. I don't know these imposter things they wear and these
Looks
City
good.
Connect and all that. Put the orange duds out. Let's go win ourselves a World Series here next month. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.